Well, it's Mother's Day today, as everyone knows, and we have had chocolates, and we've got a great morning tea. I baked a whole lot yesterday, so hopefully you enjoy it and eat it all up for me, because I don't want to take any of it home. But, as also some of you may know, James and I, as soon as we got here, bought a puppy, a little Staffy dog, and we decided to take him to puppy school. Because he's a Staffy, someone suggested to us that you make sure he's around a lot of kids and a lot of other dogs. Why they're a puppy, so they're used to it when they're older. So we've been taking him to puppy school, and I thought it's been going quite well. He's been enjoying it. After the first lesson, we were so proud to have our dog be able to sit already, because we'd already taught him before school had started. And a lot of other dogs didn't know how to sit. So we were very happy that our dog was sitting when we told him to sit. But then that caught up to us. And after a couple of weeks, he started getting a bit bored. And you can tell he's bored because he gets distracted very easily. And what we noticed was at the end of each puppy lesson was a social time, and that's his favourite time. He loved to jump over the big dogs and try to get them to play with him. Don't think he could ever handle it if they did play with him, but he tried his very hardest. And because he loved this social time, whenever we'd take him to puppy school, it was like torture for the whole hour to try to make him do things that we were telling him to do, because all he wanted to do was play. And all he wanted to do was, like, his tail was wagging. All he wanted to do was just play with all the other puppies. But he had to wait for a whole hour being, like, teased, and because all these other dogs were walking past him. And walking up and down, doing left-hand turns and right-hand turns, just weren't doing it for him. And I was starting to get a little bit embarrassed, because the lady leading, no matter how much work me and my husband put into it all week, at puppy school, he would get so distracted, he just wouldn't listen to our commands. And we'd go up and down, and there'd be the same rock that we would pass the whole time, and he'd still think it's a different rock, and he'd still have to pick it up, test it out, and see if it's still a rock. Don't know what it was, but he still had to test it, and it was just annoying because he'd keep getting distracted by this one thing, or little dots on the ground he'd get distracted by. And no matter how many times I clicked, no matter how many times I clapped, no matter how many times I'm like, Choco! No matter how many times I had food waving around in his mouth, like around his nose to get his attention, he just wouldn't keep his focus on me. He wouldn't keep his attention on me. And I'd get a little bit embarrassed because the lady leading would actually chuckle a little bit. I don't know if you've ever gone to puppy school before, but when you're trying to train a dog and you've got a lady telling you what to do and he does it all at home, but then in front of her, he doesn't. And she just looks at you as if to say, you're not doing the right thing. That's a bit embarrassing. It's my first time at puppy school, and it's a little bit embarrassing. But he just wouldn't listen to us. During the week alone, he would listen to us. But around other people, he'd get so distracted, and he still does, that he doesn't listen to what we command. In Hebrews 12, we're talking about discipline today. Mother's Day, discipline. Okay, I thought that was hilarious. Anyways, so we're talking about discipline today on Mother's Day. And I'm going to also go back in time of Amos. And has anyone read the book of Amos? Amos is a prophet in the Old Testament. And in chapter 4, verses 6 to 11, is something that kind of reminds us about this Hebrews 12 section. And throughout Amos, God is speaking through him to get Israel's attention, to get the people's attention, but they're actually not listening. And he stands there and he tells them that God is doing all of these things in their life. He's clicking, he's clapping, he's yelling out their name, and they're just not getting his attention. They're not focusing on him, they're not listening to him, and he's trying every way to get their attention back to him, but the people aren't listening. Just like Choco is not listening to me. And it's not just me, it's also James. It's not like I'm doing something wrong. I'm serious. But in Hebrews 12, it talks about how discipline, and it says here, endure hardship as discipline. God is trying to get our attention. He'll make things happen for us to actually go, oh, hang on a minute, and focus back on him. My mum is kind of a funny lady when it comes to discipline, I think. And most of you know my grandma. When it comes to discipline, you know not to go against her. You really know. You're scared to even do that. But my mum is a little different. And my mum's been a single parent ever since I've been a teenager. So as soon as I hit 13, around 13, 12, my dad left. So she's had to, like, discipline us in our teenage years. And they're apparently the toughest years. Enjoy, mothers. So anyways, what my mum decided to do, that when my dad left, she decided that we wouldn't have any secrets against each other. And so she thought of a really good idea of having what we called a confession time. And we'd all sit on her bed, all comfortable, and we'd have to confess our sins and also our hurts and pains to one another. And hopefully in this time of getting a bit feisty about what we're annoyed at and things we've done to each other secretly or maybe out in the open, things we've done to each other, hopefully some reconciliation, repentance can come about it. And that worked for a couple of years. But when I was getting a little bit older, it was starting to not work. We would just argue. And so this one time, my mum was so angry at us that she decided to lock us in my sister's room. We lived in a house that was built probably around the 50s, 60s time, I'm thinking. And so it was the old wooden doors with the locks on each door. So we had our own, like, ancient, cool-looking vintage lock key. And she locked us in this room and she said, you've got to sort it out before you come out. And we were like, you're kidding. We gave a little laugh because we just couldn't believe my mum was actually doing this to us. But after a while, we thought it would be funny to play a little trick on her. And because it was an old house, we didn't have any fly screens on the windows. So all we had to do was knock the lever and then push the window out. And it's big window. We could climb through. So we thought it would be hilarious to climb through and run around the back door and laugh at her because her plan didn't work. So we did that, and it was dark at night, so we tripped over and we're, you know, really sore and making this whole big noise as we're coming out. So Mum realised we're doing this. But as soon as we come through the back door, we couldn't stop laughing and we're pointing at her. We're like, ah, it didn't work. But it actually did. We worked together to do something and didn't realise that it actually worked. Another time, and this is when I was about 17, we would always tell my mum how our friends couldn't come over, and my mum was pretty open. She'd always let us have our friends over, but there was a lot of times where our friends couldn't end up coming over after planning and planning of them coming over because they were grounded. And we started to tell my mum about what being grounded meant. And so another time, we were arguing once again, and my mum shoved us all into our individual rooms, and she said, you're not coming out, you're grounded. And we're like, what? No way! And she said, no, you're grounded. So we sat in our room, and I remember for 10 minutes, I'm sitting there thinking, you're kidding. I was angry, I was frustrated. I knew what being grounded was. My friends always complained about it all the time. This was my first time being grounded, 17 years of not being grounded, and it was frustrating. So anyways, that 10 minutes passed, and next minute we know there's a knock on all our doors, and she said, come into the lounge room. So we all came into the lounge room, we're all quiet, and she said, I've been thinking, there's a really cool movie coming out, do you want to go see it? And we all stood there looking at her, and I remember saying to her, Mum, but we're grounded. She's like, oh yeah, but let's go see a movie. And she was really excited. We lived right next door to a cinema, like just a block down. And so I said to her, I was like, oh, Mum, when you're grounded, you can't see a movie. I said, you can't do anything when you're grounded. You have to sit in your room, do homework. My friends always complain about it. And the only thing you can go to is church, because sometimes church is boring. Not this church, but sometimes church is boring. And she said, oh, and you're all grounded? And we're like, yeah, you just told us. And she's like, oh. And then she goes, well, I'm a little bored. so you're not grounded anymore. Let's just go see a movie. So when I saw the movie, and I remember telling my friends I was grounded last night, and I was so excited to tell them I'd finally been grounded. But it wasn't the kind of discipline that they have. God disciplines us one way. He disciplines us for our greater good, where our parents discipline us for what they think is best and the way they think is best. So each parent's discipline is different, isn't it? Some people will wish they had my mum, but they won't wish they had my grandma's ways because the discipline's different. He disciplines us for how he knows best because he knows what's best for us. He alerts us when we're doing things wrong, and he tells us what we need to do with our lives. In Psalm 94, verse 12, it's quoted, "Blessed is the man you discipline, O Lord, the man you teach from your law." And in Proverbs, this one I thought was pretty cool, "My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, and do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, as a father the son he delights in." You see, God disciplines us for our best. He disciplines us for our greater good, for something that's going to help us. He disciplines us for our wrongdoing and teaches us a new way. He's even given us a new way to live. Through Jesus, he showed us. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons. He wants to discipline us for us to learn, for us to grow. At the beginning of Hebrews 12, he talks about running the race, keeping focused on him. The whole reason why he disciplines us is because we get distracted by all these things around us, that we need to set our eyes on him and focus on him and run the race towards him. At the beginning, he talks about not having any baggage. When you see someone running a race, they don't really run a race to win with all of these backpacks on them, do they? It's just not common sense. They try, some, you know, Kathy Freeman wore that sleeky suit thing to try to make her run faster. They do anything to try to make them run faster when you see athletes running. They don't have any baggage on them. And what he talks about with baggage is our sin, our guilt, our pain, the things that he tries to stop us from doing. And that's why Easter came along, why he sent Jesus for us to have a new way, so we can focus on him, so we can run the race towards him and grow. So instead of getting distracted by all of these things beside, instead of focusing on something else, just like my dog always does, we can focus on him and we can learn that he's the one who wants our eyes focused and set on him. When I was probably about, I'm thinking about 10. Hang on, let me just count. No, I would think I was about 7 because my brother was still in a pram. And what my mum used to do is when she'd buy like chocolates, she'd put them in the pram. And we'd always walk up the hill and eat a chocolate as we're doing it because, you know, it gives you energy to do. You've got to exercise and eat chocolate as you exercise. The best thing to do. So anyways, I remember I was looking one afternoon in the pram because I think I was trying to find something of mine, and I saw a Mars bar. And I was so excited. I looked around and no one was around. So I grabbed it and hid it and ran to my bedroom, which was the other end of the house, and hid behind the door and ate it. Because I really love Mars bars and I was so excited to eat it. But then came dinner and then came dessert time. And then about an hour after that, my mum was looking in the pram for this Mars bar. And I walked past her and Dad was saying to her, "You sure you had it?" And she said, "Yeah, I had one in here." And she's looking everywhere for it. And I don't know if you feel that guilt and the pit of your stomach when you know you've done something wrong and you have to confess it, but you just feel guilty. Got some nods. That's how God also gets our attention. Okay. So when we sin, a lot of the times when we're doing it, or a lot of the times when we actually commit our sin, we feel that guilt, we feel that pain that we know we've done it wrong, and we know that he knows that we've done it. But sometimes we just are too embarrassed to even confess. And that turns into baggage. To run the race, we need to get rid of the baggage. To have our eyes and our minds focused on him and set on him and running the race towards him. Not worrying about all these distractions around us. Not worrying about the same rock on the road that we pass every single time. But to have our eyes and our minds focused on him and running the race towards him. In verse 14, it says, make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. Without holiness, no one can see the Lord. He gives us a way through Jesus that we can live a holy life. We can live in peace with people around us. Or else that turns into baggage when we have bitterness and guilt still in us. So stop getting distracted. And in times of these trials and in times of these hard times, look at them as a good thing, that you can learn something from them. God is disciplining us for our greater good. He's not putting us through things just to tease us or just to rub it in our face. He's actually putting us through things for our greater good, to teach us and to discipline us. Listen to him and focus on him. Set your minds on him and set your eyes on him. And don't get distracted by all these things, but just focus fully on him.